Welcome to the Round 8 Supercoach Coach podcast. My name's Marcus, and this week I'm joined by Dunny.
G'day, everyone.
And Faz.
G'day, lads. Good to be back.
Welcome back, gents. It's been a couple of weeks that we've had Mark on showboating, so it's good to have the real guys back. let's start with, as we do each week, a quick team update. I scored 2165 and dropped about 2,000 spots to 9,447. Had a disappointing score from Scotty Pendlebury to sort of round out my weekend, which wasn't exactly brilliant. Happy with the trade-in of Tom Mitchell, and I actually went a week early on the Big O trading out Banfield for McInerney. And happy with a 65, as long as he's playing, that's all that really matters with these ruck rookies. And for a bloke who's that tall, it's not too bad. Petrarca was disappointing with a 40. Christensen disappointing with a 61. And I had Tim English on field with Fritsch and Henry on the bench, which was a little bit frustrating. And yeah, really it's the forward line that dragged my team down this week with three scores below 70. Dunny, did you fare a little bit better than I?
I had a reasonably good week, mate. I finished the week with a 23-19, one of my better scores of the season. Last year, I had the curse of the podcast. I'd have a bad score. This year, I've been having bad scores when I'm not on the podcast. So my ranking had dropped over the last couple of weeks, but I jumped about 9,000 places this week, back to 16,000, so heading back in the right direction. Had a really good week, and I must credit Mark with some advice he gave me to bring in Sicily this week, so I was really happy to pick up his 145. And my two trade-ins from the previous couple of weeks, Toby McLean and Clayton Oliver, both performed for me. But I was very, very happy that I loopholed Jack Henry onto the field for his 114, and also Tom Cole with his 88. Really happy to get those guys get their scores this week.
Nice. Your trade-ins sound really good, Dunny. Cole, Henry, three guns. So hopefully you should be trending up. I was only at 17,000 a couple of weeks ago, so.
Yeah, hopefully heading back in the right direction.
Yeah, as long as you're not swapping with me, mate. Faz, how'd you go?
Looks like I split the middle this week, boys. I got a 22-10 for my score this week. So my ranking is at 4,300. It's been pretty steady around there for the last few weeks. My trades this week, I had also brought in Tom Cole. I did that with an early downgrade of Murray from Collingwood. So happy to see Cole outscore Murray, even though it looks like I left a bit of cash on the table there with Murray. And my other move was finally getting rid of the dead weight that's been Toby Green in my team.
Ooh.
So that was nice to finally move on from him. And McLean came in. So pretty handy little 146 in his first week in the team. I think I'm ready to jump into things. Do we have a quick league update first?
Yeah, we've slid back a little bit. We've got eight still in the top 20 leagues overall. So we have extremely lofty standards for a community that I'm saying that we slipped a little bit. But our top league is only ranked seventh at the moment, which is still pretty damn fantastic. So the Aces. So good shout out to our community. I think a lot of strong results, particularly in our group. When I look at the rankings there, it really makes me question why people are listening to my advice when I'm in the 9,000. We have so many people in our community smashing it. But no, I'm very, very happy that overall things are looking good for rounds 7 and 8. In terms of a group update, the top score for our group this week was Emily. Her team, the Prowlers, scored 2471 and top scored our group this week. Massive. Moved up into the top 1,000 with 591 being her current rank. And a shout out to our overall leader, and that's Mark's Tankosaurus this week with a 2358. He shot back into the top 10, sitting at 7th. So well done to him. And there's, I think, more than I can count on one or two hands sitting in the top 100 in our community at the moment. So well done. Well done. Huge, huge results on an individual level. For this week's show, before we get into it, just a quick signpost of what's to come. We're going to talk about the rookies. There's quite a few on the bubble this week with Spargo and Ronki sort of headlining that list. Then we're getting to some trade-out candidates headlined by Petrarca and Billings. when I looked at around at your team, Faz, and I know Dunny doesn't have Petrarca, I realize I'm the only one with Petrarca, which is a bit frustrating. But at least I don't have Billings. They've been causing a lot of headaches in our community this first couple of months. So we'll talk about them almost repetitively at this stage, but we'll go through them again. And then some trade in targets, headlined by some of the must-haves almost. We've got McRae being top averager at this stage after seven rounds. Crouch and Oliver looking quite good value and top eight contenders. And also Toby McLean, who's set to spike after 146. His price is price point's only 425K at the moment, which is not too bad for a bloke who's averaging 111 at the moment. Let's get into the show now. And the first question here is a bit of a joke, but it got heaps of likes on Facebook, so we thought we'd give him a shout out, and that's Daniel Manchin's question. He asked if he leaves his wife, whether or not she gets to take half of her team as well. If so, it might be worthwhile. I think that's more likes than most of our actual podcast posts. So that's great, Daniel. Unfortunately, I don't think that's how it works. But at this stage, if I can package deal Petrarca, I'd be tempted to. Let's move into some questions. We'll start off with the rookies. The first question here is from Bryce Mitchell. Is it wise to double down this week to Spargo and Ronki, or one up, one down to get a juicy primo like McLean or McRae plus one of the two? Are you guys going to double down or one up, one down this week? So a couple of weeks ago, I think the double down was fine, was appropriate. You know, we're extracting a couple of almost underpriced rookies from our team. They were around the low 200s mark, a lot of the players that we traded out or potentially injured or dropped and not playing. But now that we're reaching a phase where, you know, we've got Banfield to trade out, Holman to trade out, there are a few blokes on offer now, and you can actually achieve a fairly decent upgrade target, is it as appropriate to be doing a double down this week? Dunny, where do you sit on that equation?
I guess for me, it's obviously going to be team specific for everyone, but I always like to go one down, one up. There's a few rookies been coming through lately, so there's a couple around the corner. I think for now, I would probably be looking to go one down, one up at this stage. What about you, Faz? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm in a similar boat to you, Dunny. I think at this point of the season, I'm just trying to maximize the points I can get on field. And I think Mark mentioned this last week. Ideally, what I'm trying to do is trade down a rookie that's already on the bench and trade up a rookie that's on field. Actually, this week, it's even more pressing for me, given that I did a sideways swap with Green. I've got about 180,000 sitting in the bank. So doing a double downgrade, it could potentially even take me then three trades to spend all of that money. And that seems like too long to be leaving cash just sitting there, because, you know, cash is helpful in, you know, achieving the ultimate goal of scoring more points, but cash in its own right doesn't really do anything for the team. So particularly given I already have cash in bank, I'm going to be doing one down, one up this week. But even if not, I think I would still go for the one up, one down rather than the double downgrade.
Were there a lot of players that played their first game on the weekend? Because that almost informs whether, if there's no downgrade options next week, that's when you're a little bit more tempted to do a double down this week. Do you know if that's the case, Faz?
Yeah, so Lachie Keefe played his first game for GWS this week. I know he's a bottom price defender at GWS.
And DPP's with Sicily, so he's almost straight in.
There we go. Yeah, he's almost tempting even this without week. Getting games, I think, at that point with the flexibility that adds to the team.
Well, people started him as a loophole player with Sicily to start the season for that reason. So good call
out. So that might even negate sort of the rest of these players with such a good option in Keefe. But Gold Coast had two debutants with Braden Crosley, who we'll touch on in a bit. Charlie Ballard was the other one. And then Matt Eagles, who is from that show on Fox Footy, The Recruit. He played his first game for the Lions this week down in defence. So I don't think that Eagles is a particularly good pick, but I think both Crosley and Keefe present a bit of value for next week. So there are a few on the horizon to look forward to.
Yeah, I think, especially with Keefe looking like a fairly solid option, just the DPP is quite helpful. There are not many death forward DPPs, so to have a pivot with Sicily is pretty cool. I think that's probably reason enough to not need to double down this week. If you already have Keith, maybe you might, because Ballard, Eagles, and Crosley aren't exactly must-have rookies either. Like, I'm not against double downgrade this week. Don't think going Spargo, Rocky, and then sort of taking a one-week hit in terms of poor scoring by having a rookie over a premium. That's not the end of the world if that means you can double up next week and maybe not have to take a risk on a bloke like Ballard. So I don't mind that at all, but I think especially if you have cash in bank, this week probably isn't the week to double down. So Faz with 180 is not in that boat, and I've got 289K in my bank account. I'm definitely not double downgrading. If you can, this is the stage of the season where you want to be one up and one down. And Mark called it last week. You called it again this week. That's exactly the play you want to go for. Downgrade somebody who's not going to affect your scoring off field. Upgrade the person on field. So I very much recommend that as option A. All right, let's get into actual players now. First up, before we get into Spargo v. Ronke, just to mention that Mooch, is it Kobe Mooch?
Kobe Mooch.
Yep.
Or Mooch, I'm not sure.
Interesting name. Anyway, he is available in the midfield and plays for Essendon. He's on the bubble as well. And then we've got Flynn Appleby, a backline player, also available on the bubble. So players available or rookies available on every line on the bubble this week, which is pretty interesting. But I think very clearly the two front runners are Spargo and Ronke. Now, if you're only going to pick one of them, who would you pick between the two?
For me, I will be picking Charlie Spargo as my trade in this week. A couple of reasons for that. One, I'm not as confident on Ronke's job security, I guess. I'm a bit unsure about that, and I don't trust Horst Longmire. I've never trusted him for a long time now after everything he's done to us over the years. But also for me, I don't actually have a mid-forward in my midfield at the moment, so he will open that up for me.
Yeah, I think the mid-forward flexibility is huge, and it's not just for switching premiums onto different lines, but also it opens up trade options.
Yeah.
If you've got a mid-forward sitting in your forward line, you can upgrade a mid-rookie to a forward premium. It just opens things up more than you really realize. They really are quite valuable. Spargo picked 29, but did his shoulder in his last year as a junior, and after his under 17 season, there was talk that it was going to be a top 10 selection. So I think he's got talent in oodles compared to Ronke, who's a rookie pick.
In agreement in terms of Spargo over Ronke, I'd probably just temper people's expectations in terms of scoring with Spargo. He has played Essendon followed by St Kilda in the last 2 weeks. So not exactly the cream of the crop, particularly the first team I mentioned. Won't go back over that one. I think that Spargo might be sort of more the sort of 60-65 player rather than the 80 that he's averaging right now. But I still would take him over Ronke.
All right, how about Kobe Mooch Faz? Would you, like, if you were trading two players in, would you consider Mooch over Ronke at all?
That's a good question. Mooch looked a lot better in his first game, I thought, than he did this week against Hawthorn. He's a fairly decent size for such a young kid because he's only in his second year in the AFL system, having played a full year of VFL last year. And his stats are 187 centimetres and 83 kilos, so that's pretty good frame for a footy player. But unfortunately, that doesn't lead to him being an inside midfielder. He's more of the outside wingman who just sort of runs outside and gets the ball fed to him, and his disposal efficiency isn't fantastic. So I don't see him as being a particularly great scorer. Although I was mentioning in the pre-show that I thought Essendon might be sort of looking to play a few more kids this year, we did see Woosha drop Gelfie this week. So I think it might be a bit more of a rotating cast than sort of wholesale changes at the Essendon side. So I think that Mooch might get a few more chances to prove himself across the season, but I don't see him being someone who will play out the year.
He's averaged 68% disposal efficiency in the VFL last year, which, as you mentioned, Faz, for an outside mid isn't ideal, and he only averaged the 20 disposals as well. So it's quality rather than quantity is his game style, and he didn't deliver in spades in terms of the quality disposal last year. Just something to note. Also should note for Guelphy owners that there's a chance that Guelphy could have been rested because he played two games with a very short turnaround, and that he'd actually be back sooner rather than later. Because I didn't think he played in a way that this necessarily pointed to him being dropped. And so I don't know what that necessarily means for Mooch either. All right, Flynn Appleby, he's a 187-centimetre rebounding defender who plays for Collingwood. So it seems like a few of those types that they're blooding this year, with Murray obviously being a front runner at the moment in our teams in terms of rookie scoring and price gains. Do you think he can repeat a Sam Murray?
Not really sure about that one. I'm a little colder on Appleby than I am probably, you know, Spargo and Mooch. Yeah, I don't think we've got another Sam Murray on our hands, but I guess that's the thing with these rookies. You just never can tell. But for me, I won't be looking at picking him up. What about you, Faz? Do you like him?
I don't mind him, but I'd agree that I don't think he's a Sam Murray type. Only got to 20 disposals once throughout his junior career, so that's not really what you're looking for. And I think, was it once he cracked the ton or twice for Supercoach ton across his junior career? And I think Murray's a little bit different. Murray was on Sydney's list for a few years and was actually traded to Collingwood. Flynn Appleby, on the other hand, was pick six in last year's rookie draft. So he's a bit younger, probably will take a little bit longer to develop. Murray sort of already looks just like he belongs at the AFL level. He was taking some great intercept marks. Really stood out to me, given that I just traded him out of my team. So it was easy to see him dominate on the weekend. So if you really needed a backline defender, you could probably do worse than Flynn Appleby, but I think there's better options available this week.
All right, let's go to the rocks. If you're looking for a rock downgrade this week, if you're double downing, I'd even consider Spargo and McInerney instead of Spargo and Ronke, just something to think about. But I went a week early on McInerney, so I'm obviously a big fan on trying to bring in R3s. I just think when you want to downgrade Tim English down the track and there's nobody to downgrade to, you're going to be in a much more unfortunate position. Not that it's necessarily the end of the world to be trading in a non-playing player at R3, but especially heading into the buys, it'd be nice to try and get a playing R3. Probably make a difference. If they're averaging 40, probably not, but McInerney is averaging 60 after his first two games, which is at least positive. I'm a pretty big fan of him, obviously, but Tandy Lee has asked the question about whether or not Tim English is ready to call for McInerney, or potentially whether or not we should be waiting for another week for Braden Crosley, which Faz has already mentioned, who had his debut on the weekend. Rare that you get two rock rookies getting their debuts back-to-back, but that's the situation that we're in. Personally, I just call out that the Big O is a mature age player. He's 23 years old, whereas Crosley has literally just been drafted. It's his first year in an AFL environment. So for me, it's a pretty clear sort of cut case where you'd want to go. But Crosley has a pretty sweet mo. Apparently, his tackle pressure was pretty all right. So that might play in his favour. Faz, any thoughts about Crosley?
I haven't seen a lot of Crosley, no, and just the age and sort of size difference. So Crosley is 198 centimetres compared to 204 for McInerney. So that doesn't seem like heaps. It's only 6 centimetres, but I think in the ruck, every centimetre counts. And I think that McInerney kicked a goal this week, so having that other option up forward in what's quite a young forward line at Brisbane, they've got Hipwood and McStay playing up there, neither of whom are, you know, particularly big-bodied players yet. So I think just having another big option up forward would see him potentially staying in the side for a little while.
All right, we'll move on to Darcy Allen's question next from Facebook. Which of the rookies who have peaked should be first to go? Here's Stephenson, Holman, Banfield, Richards and Murray and Finlayson and even Dodé. Like, there's quite a few where if you look at their break-even and their average, they're about ripe to trade out. And then, of course, there's some of the non-performing players that are
potentially also right to go. You know, Brayshaw, you haven't traded him out yet. You've got Timmy English, who also looks like he's pretty close to his break even. You got, yeah, there's a few options there. Sonny, who are you looking at trading out, and how would you rank sort of those trade out candidates there?
Yep. So I think there's probably one thing, and we talked about it at the top of the show when we're looking at trade outs. You know, Faz and I both talked about trading out one guy from the bench and one guy on field so that you can maximize your points on field. And for that reason, I've been sort of toying with the idea of actually trading out Banfield and then upgrading Finlayson. I think for me, that's the way I'll probably end up going. But in terms of those guys he's got there for trade out, I'd probably go Banfield, Richards and Holman before I went to Murray and Stevenson. Only because, you know, Murray and Stevenson do seem to be scoring fairly well and consistently, whereas Holman's really up and down. Yeah, you know, Finlayson and Dodie, whichever one suits your upgrade plans better. You know, if you're looking for a defender, then you know you might want to go Dodie. If you're looking for a midfielder, you could use Finlayson in, if you've got him in the mids there. But both of those two guys have been scoring well enough that you can leave them on the field with a fair bit of certainty at the moment and survive. So that's probably the way I'll be looking at it, is, you know, Banfield out and then trying to upgrade one of my on-field rookies, which at this stage is Finlayson.
Yeah, that's a very good call and a good context to sort of start off with when considering these trade-out targets. Jaden Stephenson, if you still have him, anyone that does, he's priced at $334,000. He's gone up a fair bit since he scored his 115, which was huge. His break-even's now 69, and he's got Geelong coming up this week. So there's a chance that his score might be stifled a little bit more. And at $334,000, like, that's a pretty damn good price. I'd be a little bit more tempted to trade out the blokes that have gone above 250 than the guys who are still sitting below, in the hope that, you know, all it takes is one big game when you're priced under 250 to really spike above that. And I think minimum 250 is kind of what you want to be pulling out of a trade. If you downgrade one 250K priced rookie and upgrade another, that actually only gives you about 400K for your upgrade, which isn't necessarily even enough to hit a primo. So you just got to keep that in mind. If you're trying to do one up, one down every week, trading out a bloke who's 220K really doesn't help you in those scenarios. So Holman and Banfield are right up there for me. Banfield's not a massive point scorer. He does a roll every single week, but at 270K, I think that's pretty healthy to trade him out. I'd probably trade him out ahead of Holman, which is what I've done so far. But Holman's pretty okay to trade out as well. His propensity to potentially score in the 30s and 40s really affects his potential ceiling. If he can run out three games at about 70, his price should definitely go above 300K. So it's not a must trade out, but at 280K, and with his propensity for a low score, it might take a while for him to peak past where he's currently priced at. So I don't mind that trade out as well. Anyone that's considering trading out Tim Kelly early, there are a few questions about that, to complete their midfield early. To me, that seems like a wasted opportunity. I'd rather take out a rookie that's scoring 60 or 70 in the back line and forward line and upgrade to a true premium rather than take out Kelly, who's still averaging 100, doesn't look like slowing down, to a primo that's averaging 110. So I definitely wouldn't be trading out Kelly. In the back line, most people are running pretty deep, so I'm pretty tempted to say Finlayson, Dodie, Murray, even Norton with his current run, they all sort of seem like keepers to me. If you bring Tom Cole on, you're more likely to want to trade out maybe a Finlayson type. The consideration with why you might trade out Finlayson is with the injuries that they've sustained. He actually played up forward on the weekend against Geelong, and that's why he really got hurt. He kicked the goal and you would have suffered even more if you didn't. So that potentially be the reason why I trade him out over Murray and Dodie at this early stage. But to be honest, those three all have the scoring potential to reach 400K if they sink big scores at the right time. So they're not must trade outs either, would be my 2 cents on that. If I had to name a 1, 2, 3, Banfield 1, Holman 2, Finlayson 3 for me. All right, let's go to trade out candidates now. We'll start off with this first question here from Craig Lynch. He posted his question to Facebook and his comment was Petrarca versus Billings, which is the worst. Unfortunately, that doesn't help if you have one and not the other, because yeah, I think
Even if you have both, you want to trade both out at this stage of performing that poorly. Let's start off with Track, because neither of you have him and I don't know what the hell to do. I think I'm giving him a bit of an out that his last game and his current game were affected by the finger injury. And so I'm tempted to keep at 400K. Having said that, he's 50K off being traded to Jesse Hogan, and that looks bloody tempting as well because Hogan looks like a potential top six forward. So at the same time, he's at a decent price point to trade out. I'm just wary that he's such a talent. Even though he hasn't really delivered it in terms of Supercoach scoring, he's looked very impressive on field. Whether it's not being able to convert the shots at goal he's got or whatever, sometimes with this mid forwards on the cusp of a breakout, you see it happening in the second half of the year rather than the first. And even though it's hard not to be jaded by his current average of 78, he could still very much average 95 for the rest of the season, which at the price point at 400 isn't a bad keep.
Yeah, so I think you'll take a little bit of a hit on the price over the next few weeks if you decide not to trade him now. With that 40 will stay there for a little while. So if he goes back-to-back 75s, he's going to drop close to 40,000 over the next 2 weeks. So that is a bit to stomach. As you mentioned, there's some good options at a similar price right now. But in comparison to Billings, who's the other guy we've got in this question, I think that Petrarca, as you mentioned, he has the out. He has an injury right now, which you can sort of attribute his poor scoring to. Billings just seems to be playing in a pretty poor team and has a role that's going to make it very difficult to score points. So, you know, Melbourne look a lot better than St Kilda. I think Petrarca's probably got a higher ceiling as a player than Billings does. So for all of those reasons, I think that if you were caught in that situation and had to decide one over the other, then I'd be holding on to Petrarca, I think.
Yeah, look, I'm similar. If you're going to trade him out, you probably need to do it now. In terms of a Billings, I'll probably be holding Billings at this stage. Yeah, he's lost a lot of value, and you're not going to get much for him at that sort of price point.
Yeah, for me, it's like you want to be trading one player up and one player down. And so side swapping doesn't really help you achieve what you want to achieve. And you sort of referenced that when you talked about trading Green out last week, Faz.
Mm.
And so for those reasons, and considering their price points, I would hold. I traded Billings out when he was at 480 because I thought this bloke's going to drop. And so I'm going to take the value while I can, trade him out now. Price at 378,000, he cost 20K more than Christensen. Are you really trading out Billings ahead of Christensen if you have him? If you don't have him, are you really trading out Billings over Jaden Stephenson, who's 35K less? Like, yes, Billings looks awful, but we picked him for a reason. He's an established player, and hopefully he can turn things around. So I'd probably hang on to both, to be honest. I'm sure that could piece of advice can end up winding up hurting you, but if there's a right time to trade these sorts of players out, it's during the buys, and we're actually only 4 weeks away from the buys now. So at worst, stomach it for another 4 weeks. It's hard to see Billings falling much below 378,000, and hopefully he turns things around before then. All right, next question is from Andy H or at Kahardwood on Twitter. He's one of our patrons as well. What to do with Nick Nat? I rolled the dice on him thinking that he'd run into greater game time, but he's only played 65% up to, you know, round 7 now. He's also been suspended. He hasn't accepted the ban yet, but tentatively suspended as of recording this. And so if he misses a game, does that change the equation? Faz, would you trade him out?
What's his price at? So he's at 470. It's a fair way to go to the two guys that I think are really establishing themselves as the preeminent ruckman in the comp right now. That's Gorn and Grundy. So I think that if you really want to do that trade, and you could consider that, but it does feel a bit sideways to me. And as we've been sort of continued to mention throughout the show, that just seems like a bit of a backward step at this point in the year to be doing sideways steps when everybody else is upgrading. If you've got a guy like English that can cover you for this week, English's scoring hasn't been fantastic, but you can probably pencil in sort of something around the 60 mark, copying the 1 week without Nat Nui and focusing on your upgrades is probably the way to go. And then maybe looking to move Nat Nui on sort of through the buys or somewhere around then.
Yep. If you can make a downgrade to McInerney and gain cash from it, so not sideswap a non-playing player, but trade in McInerney to cover Nick Nat as a downgrade, I'd probably consider that. Or if you could just straight up use English, I'd definitely consider that. If you can trade up to Grundy, I think it's a good opportunity to actually do it, because I don't think anyone would contest the fact that Gorn and Grundy would probably end up being the 1-2 punch you want to have by the end of the season. But otherwise, if you're not in a position for either, for any of those options, then the Nick Nat's probably a hold. Yeah, like you said, Faz, you probably want to continue your upgrade path and just cop the 1 week out. At least it's a suspension, not an injury. And look, Nick Nat, they like to rest him anyways, coming back from a long-term injury. It's not wildly out of the realms of expectation that he miss a week here or there. So hopefully you can at least cover him. Otherwise, an upgrade to Grundy looks all right. All right, let's move into trade-in targets now. The first question here is from CJ Foster from Facebook. Is it too risky to grab Hibbard at a discount? Dunny, what are your thoughts on that? He's priced at $437,000, and after a disappointing start to the season, his last two rounds have actually delivered a 96 and 99, which is much more in line with what we expect from the bloke. He's got Gold Coast and Carlton the next two, which should mean more points for Melbourne, although I don't know if it's necessarily more points for Melbourne rebounding defenders, but we'll see how that goes. But at $437,000, this bloke's dropped almost $110,000 since his starting price point. Pretty tempting, I reckon.
Yeah, you don't need to remind me how bad he's going there. Thanks, Marcus. I've held him from the start. So
you'd be jazzed about the last 2 weeks at least, Donny.
Oh, mate, I've been over the moon with his last 2 weeks.
Hasn't cracked the ton, we're celebrating.
Yeah, exactly. To be honest, I think this is exactly what those who didn't start with him would have been looking for. You know, he's come down 110K. It's definitely the time to jump on. Is he going to be a top six defender at the end of the year? Who knows? But he's certainly going to be better than a lot of the other options that are out there. He's got form from last year. He can score. He just hasn't been doing it lately. I think he's, hopefully in the last couple of weeks, he's found his niche, if you like, found his new role with all these new guys in the team. I think he is a bargain to pick up. And he's got a break even of 66 at the moment. So I'm praying that that doesn't go any lower, I think it would be time to buy.
Yeah, I think I agree with that, Dunny. If you're looking for a backline upgrade this week, Yo cost 100K more, I think, at about 540. So I'd be pretty tempted to take the 100K discount there and hope that Hibbard can average closer to 95 than 90. I still think he's going to manage 90 from here on out at least. So that's the only reason why you'd recommend bringing him in. If you thought he was an 85 averager, he's obviously a clear pass. One bloke who's not going to stay at his price point is the bloke that Dunny just brought in. And what an inspired trade that was, Dunny. James Sicily with a break even of 29, fresh off his suspension, and then at 145. We got a few questions about him for players from people who didn't start with Sicily. If you didn't start with Sicily, I'd argue that almost last week was the best week to bring him in when Dunny brought him in, because he was still priced at 450K and you missed him sitting out for two out of the first 6 weeks where you saw a rookie score replacement. So I really like the way that things panned out for you there, Dunny. But Sicily, apart from one game with a 61, he's not scored below 110. 110, 123, 125, 145. This bloke is in a ripping form. He is a fair talent and he is unabashed about the way he goes about his football, which is a bit annoying to watch as an opposition supporter. I'm sure everyone can relate to that. But honestly, he's a bloke that you want in your SuperCoach team. And so between picking Sicily or Hibbard this week, if you don't have Sicily, I'd jump on Sicily. It's not too late at 498K. Based on his current average, he should be priced way into the 500s.
Yeah, it will be too late quite soon, I think. He's going to be up sort of in the 550 plus range pretty soon. And it was pretty phenomenal watching me on the weekend. One of the first times I've seen him in person. And as much as it was good to see a player in your SuperCoach team do well, it wasn't as great seeing him absolutely towel up Joe Danaher.
Yeah.
But he's a pretty special talent. He kicked a goal at one point after a 50-meter penalty. It was from in the square and it was over halfway up the goalpost height as it went through. It was just a...
His teammates and his coaches have been calling him an All-Australian contender, like just an absolute freak. And we're seeing it play out now. So you want to jump on if you haven't already. All right, we'll move on to the next question here. This one's a bit of a meatier one. This one's from Lincoln Beggs on Twitter at CripsTonightSC. Do we go for McRae at top dollar or Crouch and Oliver at a discount? And I'll chuck a fourth name in there, which is Toby McLean. He scored 146, and considering he's averaging 110, his price has actually stayed at a pretty decent number at 525K. He's only gone up about 25, 30K since his starting price tag, so he's pretty well priced for what he's delivering at the moment. McRae's about to jump up as well. I think Crouch has a low break even as well. Oliver's probably the one that's least pressing, but there's a lot of, you know, all four are potential, you know, top eight mids or top six forward, potentially even sort of greater than that. Each have the capability to be game breakers or super coach breakers by not having them over a patch or a period of time. So it's going to be hard to do a 1-2-3-4 on these blokes, but let's go around the table. I know some of us have some of these players and others don't, but let's sort of strip it aside and assume that you don't have all four of these players at their current price point this week, and with their break evens to factor in, how would you rate them?
I am aware that I could be falling into the trap of buying high here, but Jack McRae is looking sensational. This year, his low score is a 98, which is pretty crazy because he also pulled out a 189 on the weekend. And a score like that just makes me open my eyes. And I realize that there's not many players in the game that can do that. I'd probably say maybe Tom Mitchell, Dustin Martin, Patrick Dangerfield.
He's had 5 120 plus scores. Mm. 120, 131, 141, 142, 189. So these are not, you know, scraping over 110. He's smashing it out of the ballpark every week. And having played as a forward earlier on in his career, the fact that he's so potent up forward and still racks up the amount of ball that he does. I mean, we talked about him v. Dangerfield last week, and we recommended getting on the McRae train. I went with Mitchell because I didn't have Mitchell, and I wish I had Mitchell so I would have bought him McRae because I would have been laughing all the way to the bank. The good news is he only went up 30K last week, and so he's only priced at about 40K more than his starting price tag, which is not too much considering he is, and I mentioned this at the top of the show, the highest averaging player in Supercoach at the moment. More than Grundy, more than Gorn, more than Mitchell, more than Fife, more than Dangerfield. He is top dog right now, and it's hard not to get hyped up after 189. But I don't necessarily see him managing this, but 120 for the season is very much in sights.
And I also feel like this is the last week for a little while that he's going to be at an achievable price point.
He's playing Brisbane this week too.
Yeah, so he's about to jump. He's going to get up around that $700,000 mark soon. And as I guess we're fairly aware this year, with most teams sort of looking to trade Dangerfield in, that's just a lot of money. And you kind of have to do three trades most of the time to generate that sort of revenue. So while I can get McRae at under 630, he's the clear number one for me.
I'm considering side swapping out Pendlebury to bring this bloke in this week.
From there, I'm probably going to go back-to-back Bulldogs here with McLean averaging 111 currently and available in the forward line. That, to me, is, again, pretty special. Whereas Oliver and Crouch, they're sort of a similar average, I think, but in the midfield, there's a lot more guys that can do that sort of thing.
And McLean's break even is 56, so he's about to jump up too. And as we already mentioned with McRae, they're playing Brisbane.
So, the two dogs would be 1 and 2 for me. What do you think, Dunny? Are you a similar boat? Are the dogs the standouts there?
Yeah, I think they are, mate. I'm actually really kind of hoping that Luke Parker's got some sort of injury so that I can upgrade him to McRae this week.
Like I'm doing Pendlebury. It's a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, exactly. So, the only other way that I can get to him at the moment is by trading out Tim Kelly, which I really don't want to do. But yeah, I think McRae is definitely the one to get in. As you say, he's not going to be at this price for very long. I think if you do miss him now, the next time to get him that would be logical would be around his buys. I can't remember what buy they have, but yeah, if they have one of the early buys, that's when I'd be looking to pick him up if I don't get him now.
They do have the early buy. They're in round 12, so yeah. that is a good option there, Dunny.
Yeah, round 13 would be the next time you would pick him up.
And we should call out that it is hard to pick a round 12 buy premium because there are only four clubs that have the buy on round 12 because of the Gold Coast, Port Adelaide round 10 buy. And they're Carlton, Hawthorn, West Coast, and Western Bulldogs. So in the midfield, especially, you've got Cripps, Mitchell, and then not many people have a third midfielder premium that's copping a buy then. So he definitely slots in very nicely there.
Yeah. Toby McLean would, he'd be my second. Once again, the fact that he's available as a forward, puts him right up there as someone that you really want to have in your side. I bought him in 2 weeks ago, and I'm, really happy that I was able to do that. Oliver and Crouch, bit of a toss of the coin. I'd probably go Crouch there. I think he's going to come back into a bit of form now. But, there's certainly nothing wrong with Oliver. I bought him in 2 weeks ago. So those two guys, bit of a toss of the coin, but definitely the two dogs first up for me.
Again, 1-2 is the same, but I'd have Crouch over Oliver as well. Like you said, Dunny, just because of price point, I think Crouch is 25K cheaper, and I'd almost have both of them in a fairly similar bucket. Big accumulators, good in the contested stuff, not amazing in terms of disposal efficiency. I find it hard to split between the two. All right, last question for the podcast. This one's from Shannon Swan, one of our patrons. Is Hogan a legit top six forward option? Do want to give a caveat that you don't have to trade him in this week. His break even is 100, even though he's priced only at 445K. And the reason for that is his score of 36 against Essendon. I can't remember exactly what it was, but he had some sort of injury in that game and was quite affected by it. I think rolled an ankle and clearly didn't really play through the game very well after that. But this was a bloke who up to that game was averaging 105. The amount of posies he's getting in the midfield on top of the fact that he's kicking goals, he's looking Buddy-esque in the way that he's going about his football, which is pretty tempting. With price being a factor, I mean, like I said, he's not as pressing this week, but I'd almost have him in the same sort of rank as McLean McRae. He looks like he could be a top six forward, and more importantly than those other two blokes, he's offering a fair bit of value. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, it cost me 40K to upgrade from Petrarca at the moment. And I think one can average 100 and the other I'm very, very questionable about. Are either of you two tempted by Hogan?
I hadn't been until I heard that spiel. But yeah, he looks like quite a good option actually. And if I can get Jesse Hogan, who's an incredibly highly touted youngster, playing through the midfield quite a bit and at a reasonable discount there at 445,000, that all sort of adds up to pretty good option for me.
He's definitely a downhill skier. That is something to note. So but the good thing is when he scores, he seems to score big. So three scores above 125, 125 against North, 130 against Saints, and 145 against Lions. The good part is the fact that he's getting disposals in the midfield means that his low end, I mean, you discount that sort of game affected by the rolled ankle. He had 79 against Geelong, 81 against Richmond, and 94 against Hawthorn. So the low end looks pretty good, and that's the Buddy-esque comparisons that they've sort of slotted in there. But considering he's a downhill skier, his next two opponents should prove tempting for potential owners. He's got Gold Coast and Carlton coming up.
I'm a bit worried about him being a bit up and down, but I think he has to come into contention. With his break even sitting there at 100, as I think you said, you don't need to jump straight away on him. So if you wanted to see one more week out of him, you could. But I think, he's certainly in the conversation for the top six forwards.
All right. And with that, let's wrap up the show with a captain's corner. Even if Mira doesn't play this week, that doesn't really extend my options because unfortunately he's playing in game one of the round coming up. But anyone who has Lachlan Murphy will get to select from the first few games of the round as Adelaide are only playing on Saturday evening.
Worth mentioning, he did have 21 touches in the sample on the weekend, so possible inclusion.
Yeah, it was an emergency as well, so there's definitely a chance there. Either of you gents have more loophole opportunities? I know at the top of the show, Faz, you said you were struggling for them.
Yeah, that's right. Mira is currently my only donut in the team, so not the worst thing in the world from cash generation point of view, but it doesn't help with the captaincy. So with that in mind, I might be throwing the C to the new guy and seeing what McRae can do against the Brisbane Lions.
For me, I'll be chucking the VC on Tommy Mitchell. I am a Lachlan Murphy owner, although I'd really love him to get a game with his break even at minus 51. And then if I did that, I probably wouldn't be looking towards Dusty. I'm pretty confident Ben Jacobs will head to him. The one I'd probably be looking at would be Nat Fyfe against St Kilda at home if I can't manage to squeeze McRae into my team.
Yeah, VC options are tough. I think definitely Mitchell in the first game looks like a fair no-brainer. But then captaincy options, there's Gawn playing against Gold Coast Rucks. That looks brilliant. You got Grundy playing against Geelong Rucks. And let me tell you, Geelong Rucks suck. And if they keep playing Stanley, he's going to have a field day, even with one leg tied behind his back or two legs tied together, however you want to put it. Fyfe, obviously, is a great one there. And McRae is obviously a great one as well. So that's very tough. I mean, throw a blanket over those. It's tough. Fyfe, McRae, Gawn, Grundy all look good to me.
Probably just something for the listeners to be aware of too is that we've only got two games on the Sunday because there's 2 4 o'clock games on the Saturday this week. So that Port Crows game is on at the same time as the Melbourne v Gold Coast game.
Good call, Dunny. Otherwise, the VC Gawn might actually be on the card there. Although I suspect Murphy should, it's about time he actually slots back into the team. All right, that's it for this week's show. Gents, thank you so much for joining us and for another great episode. Donny, hopefully you continue to move back up the ladder. And Faz, hopefully your Bombers turn things around. I think we've got you both sort of on a rest next week and Mark back on. And Mark's a real crabby pants when you guys don't do well. Anything to leave our listeners with before we sign off? Donny?
No, just hope everyone's getting their trades right and probably starting to think about the buyers when they're trading now. We didn't need to think about it as early in the year, but as you mentioned earlier, Marcus, they're only 4 weeks away, so start sort of having them in the back of your mind when you're planning your trades.
Brilliant suggestion, Dunny, and something I've overlooked for a majority of my trades so far, and it's now is definitely the time to tune into that. Faz?
I think that if Essendon's losing ways continue, you might be doing the show on your own next week because we've actually got Carlton this week. So I don't think if we manage to break Carlton's winless streak to start the year, I think we might all be looking for a new club to support. So, yep, surely that can't happen. Go the Bombers.
And on that note, we'll wrap up this week's show and see you all next week. Bye.
Cheers, lads.
Bye, everyone.